Can I ask you, let's just stand up for one moment. I just want to pray that it'll get cooler in the building. Do you think God can answer that prayer?
Yes.
All right. We've been having some challenges in the church over the last few weeks, just kind of beginning of the year, and things breaking, things going missing, just out of the usual stuff. And I think I'll come with a long list next Sunday and say, who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Who's going to do that? Who's going to do that? It just seems to be piling up, and there's not enough man hours or man hands to get it done. Let's just pray over where we meet you, the facility, and our coming and going, and all that goes around making it possible to come here on a Sunday morning and just enjoy a time of corporate worship and word. Amen? So would you agree with me? Father, we thank you that this place is not the church. We are the church. But where the church assembles is important to us. And we just pray for protection. We just pray, Lord, for supernatural wisdom. We pray that those who are getting stuff done, it'll get done. And we just pray for wise administration and stewardship. And we just pray for favor over 10 Harvey Road. All activities pertaining to the running, practical administration, equipment, bills, maintenance, personnel, every other aspect, safety, security. We pray that the hothouse where the plants are growing would be in good shape for this year. Lord, we are in spring. And Lord, we thank you that where we meet is also important. We pray that same favor that's on our individual lives will be upon this house. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 Well, thank you for that prayer. I'm anticipating a problemless 2015. Those taking the offering, would you please come up as we... If you've been with us the last few weeks, you will have heard me say a few times that I've come into this year with a real urgency about our individual relationships with God. Just getting that place of connection going with the Father. Thank you, guys. As we take the bags, we're going to take up the morning offering. Let's go ahead. Let's do that. And at the beginning of the year, I said, asked you, how would you describe your relationship with God? Is it growing or is it decreasing? And we looked at some conditions of where we've been negligent and like the lost coin, or where we've got distracted like the sheep that got detoured, or like the prodigal son who made a choice. And sometimes we make decisions that send us in a different direction to our relationship and our intimacy with God. And for me, I'm so glad I'm established in grace, because grace has created a doctrine, a foundation for favor and for continual breakthrough. But it doesn't guarantee that I'm enjoying a relationship with God. That's something that I'm praying for you for, praying for myself together, that even this morning I'd like to just touch on a few things here. Are we ready to fire here? I want to speak just quickly about a few things around relationship with God. And this is important for us in this year. So Lord, as I just speak these few principles this morning, I pray that they would connect with our reality, where we are. And be helpful today, in Jesus' name. If you've got a pen and paper, I'm going to give you 7 key points that I believe can be helpful. They don't necessarily work in our life in a strict order. Sometimes they overlap. Sometimes they come different. But they're just 7 key things that help us in this endeavor to have relationship. And if relationship's important to Him, it's important to us. And we want to be good stewards of this relationship. So there's several things that I just want to throw out to you. The first one is marveling at his breathtaking splendor demonstrated in creation. Now, this is how it works for me. If my mind's been distracted and I've been a bit negligent in my walk with the Lord, my personal relationship, a good place for me, I don't know if other people are like that, is just to get a sense of the awesomeness and the greatness and his beauty. It's outside of us. It's the heavens declare the glory of God. It's the beautiful sea lines and coasts and panoramic mountain ranges. And something about creation stirs up a sense of God's bigger than just my little situation I'm facing. Now, if my prayer starts with me and my little problems, Lord, please, would you provide a parking place for me as I go along to pick and pay this morning? If that prayer comes out of first having a sense of God's greatness, secondly, there's a communing of intimacy with him and be encountered by his presence. So that leads to a place of intimacy with him. So externally, God's greatness, but internally, I'm having communion and intimacy with the triune God. I sense the Father's voice that created all things is living inside of me. He's put his word inside of us, that Jesus became flesh. The word became flesh and imbibes us now. And the relationship between the Father and Son, we've been invited into that relationship. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus is living inside of you. Come on, tell the person next to you, you got the same Spirit that was in Jesus. We've been invited into an incredible unity in the triune God of experiencing Jesus' relationship with the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, you get to that place, you get encountered. So we move from just the external glory of God to an internal place of commune and being encountered with God. And in that place, we begin to sense his love and his purpose for mankind. You know, God is love. God doesn't have to love because God is love. It's just who he is. And when we begin communing with him and enjoying intimacy and worship in his presence, individually and like we did here this morning, there's something of that. It's not just about me and my little world, but God's love goes out into all of humanity, all of mankind. There's something bigger that's in the heart of God, and it's for the world. Can you say amen? And then fourthly, and this is where it starts getting a little bit more practical, is that we discern what our part is in this great plan. You know that God has intended for you to be a co-laborer with him on earth? If his great purpose can be summarized in the statement, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Because that's God's ultimate purpose for the planet. Is we would loose on earth what's already loosed in heaven. We would forbid on earth what's already been forbidden in heaven. Every time we pray, let your kingdom come, we are coming into alignment with the supreme purpose of God for the universe. And that his world would invade our world. That's why Jesus came. He said, I'm coming into this world and I'm bringing my world with me. Therefore, repent, for the kingdom of God is within your reach. That's his purpose for this planet. That more and more his kingdom would come here through his people that have been entrusted. And I've got a part to play with that. So there's a co-laboring. You are a co-laborer. Say co-laborer. You are a co-laborer with this great plan that God put in place. Same way Jesus came to co-labor with the kingdom of God, you and I are called to co-labor with the kingdom of God on earth. And as we, in this place of intimacy and communing with him, as we get a sense of this bigger plan of God, God, what is my place in it? Here's the thing, that without Jesus, what he did on the cross, anything we do would be futile. If Jesus hadn't paid it all, done it all, accomplished it all, as perfect man in perfect relationship with God through his sinless life and dependence on the Holy Spirit, if Jesus hadn't got that all done, what we'd do is futile. But in some mysterious way, God has chosen that without us doing what he's called us to do, that purpose will never be fulfilled on earth. That victory will never be enforced. I mean, that is an amazing thought. It's not just God sovereignly doing whatever he wanted. He could have done that, but he didn't choose to do that way. He chose to do it through people that if we not praying, nothing's getting done. If we're not doing, if we're not finding our part in his grand scheme and stepping out in the kingdom and praying the prayer he prayed, declaring the message he gave us to declare, then what he did is also futile. That's how God limited himself. It's a self-imposed limitation because God's not limited in any way. But what is my part? And the fifth thing that begins to happen is that I'm humbled by the sense that this task is too big for me. You know, when we really begin to see that Jesus' kingdom can rule and dominate on this planet, a part of us looks at what's going on in the world and says, it's too big, it's impossible. And in that, we find our part to play. And even in our part, when God starts showing us things that he's purposed for our life, that he's designed for our life, he gives us certain desires. You know, that's how God speaks to you, through vision, dreams, desire. The word desire itself means of God, desire, D of Zaya God. It's of God. He, those feelings, those dreams, those passions, if you're communing with God, then your desires come from him. When we're communing with the world system and we were lost in sin and rebellion, then our desires were foolish and wicked because you will produce and you'll incubate where you're fellowshipping and what you're fellowshipping with. But when we are in a place of his greatness and his intimacy and God, your kingdom come, you will start getting desires that aren't your own desires. They are given to you by God. And at times you'll feel, no, this is too big for me. It's probably a good thing. The moment you think this is too big for me, you're probably in a good place. The moment you feel like, I don't even, as a mother, I'm dealing with this situation in my home, and I know what God's kingdom is supposed to look like in my home, and I'm not seeing it, and I know he's called me to be a mother to these kids and this family and this community, and it just seems so difficult, and I'm not seeing any breakthrough. That's a good place to be, because there's times where we just feel like overwhelmed, that this is too big for me. I mean, I do regularly. God has showed me, and even more recently, as I've been walking through these steps in my own personal life, spent 2 weeks in the Drakensberg, which are the two best weeks of my year in terms of just God's greatness and his majesty and his beauty. But in that place, you can close the door and just close your eyes, and there's a sense of the Holy Spirit that is so tangible and real. And in that place, God just started dropping and downloading stuff into my spirit. And at first, it's all exciting and it's breakthrough stuff and it's world-changing, community-shaping, vision and dream. But then the doubts come. Then those fears came. Those fears that we stood against this morning. Can I really do this? Is it possible? It's interesting that many times in Scripture, the words are repeated, I will be with you. He said it to Moses. He said it to Abraham. He said it to Joseph. He said it to David. He says it to you through the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, I will be with you. You know, whenever he said those words, he said them into a context where what they were called to do was impossible. Did you get that? Whenever God expects something of us that is beyond our ability, beyond our strength, beyond our capacity, he has to bring these next few words in. I will be with you. Whatever you are called to do, whatever your part in this great scheme of God's plan for earth, for His kingdom to break in with His power and a demonstration of His world that is more real than the visible world, and you feel this is too much for me, you got to hear those words. I will be with you. And then sixthly, make the life adjustment necessary to this end. You see, once that peace comes and I know God's in control, whatever I've been called to do, whether it's in ministry and business or both, or whatever my life purpose is as a mother, as an engineer, as a pastor, whatever it is, once that peace comes, there's got to be a place where there's adjustments that need to be made. Amen? For example, three years ago, after we put our story down, Highway to Grace, I felt Father say to me, son, you need to equip yourself in the Word theologically. And what does that look like, Lord? And as I wrestled and prayed and thought things through, a desire started to come. I kept, God, is this you, God? Go back to studies. I'm in my 50s now. What do I want to go back to study for? You do this in your 20s. And the desire came. I took it to some of my friends and in the leadership and spoke about it. And there seemed to be a green light to go ahead. And I was tackling something I felt in the natural was bigger than me to go and do a master's degree in original Bible language of the New Testament. You know, let me roll about fishing rod and go fish. You know, this desire wouldn't leave me. So 2 years ago, committed myself to that end. Camp was finished up at the end of last year. But I can tell you this, there were a lot of adjustments that had to be made along the way. Ask my wife. For me, TV and movies, there's an hour a day already if you add it up, maybe even more in the week. You'll be surprised how quickly TV time adds up. Some of you think, I've got no time for this, I've got no time for that. But you add up your TV and viewing, you'll be surprised how quickly it adds up. It's just a little adjustment, but I had to find a few hours. And then another adjustment was just getting up an hour earlier or 2 hours earlier. I had to find 4 or 5 hours in the day they were there, but I had to make adjustments. You see, whenever God puts a desire in your heart to do something, there's going to be a step you take, and it's adjustment. That's all it is. It's like, it's obedience. You don't know what obedience is? That's what obedience is all about. Obedience is just showing that you trust God by rearranging your life to put His priorities first. You know, maybe you got a desire to disciple somebody, but you've never done that before. It's too big for you. It's overwhelming. God says, I will be with you. But now you need to make an adjustment in your life to make yourself available. You say, I would love to be involved in some kind of leadership or some kind of business or planning a church or leading worship or something. Oh, but it feels too big for me. That's a good place. You need to hear God say, I will be with you. But then you need to make an adjustment in that situation to make yourself available. 29 years ago, Dave and Louise Gibbon and a few of their friends who were worshiping felt God speak to them about connecting with the charismatic movement, moving out of denominationalism. They contacted Hatfield Church in Pretoria. The desire came, felt too big for them, but they had to make an adjustment when God said, I will be with you. And that was a seed planted 30 years ago for this church, Highway Christian Community. But can you see the obedience, the cost was in the repositioning our lives to line up, which means sacrificial living in some areas of life. But that's what obedience is all. Obedience isn't just for the sake of keeping a bunch of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations for your moral integrity. No, obedience is much bigger than that. Jesus took care of your moral integrity. Obedience for you as a New Testament covenant person is lining your life up with the higher purposes of God for you. And what His purpose is. Finding adjustment, making that adjustment of time, talent, treasure. Some of you, I believe, are felt called to a business pursuit. The desire is growing. Let it grow. And when it feels it's too big for you, take it to God. He's only just begun in your life. Adjustments that we need to make. And then finally, this is kind of a bit of a mixed up point, but I'll explain it. Relationship with God is the journey I make through these stages and not a destination that I arrive at. So remember, I started off talking about relationship. How would you describe your relationship right now as a new covenant, grace-loving individual? You say, well, I don't know how my relationship is. It doesn't feel so good. So I must just sit here and wait. Relationship. It doesn't happen like, you know how relationship happens? It's a relationship. It happens while you are going about doing something with somebody, that relationship happens. So don't be discouraged about the answer you have for how is your relationship. Be encouraged this morning that as you come into a sense of His greatness and awesomeness, as you connect with Him at a place of intimacy and He begins to put desires in you and dreams and purpose that feels at first bigger than you, know this, that God goes with you and He's looking for obedience, which is you adjusting your life. Obedience is saying, I trust you, Lord. You know, that's what obedience is. It's like the guy hanging on the mountainside on a twig and below him clouds. And he's hanging there for dear life. And he cries out and says, God, help me. And the Lord looks and sees that the cloud's only this thick and the cliff edge is about 1 foot below the cloud. So God says, let go, my son. No, please, please, God, help me, help me. Trust me. Let go, my son. Please, please, is there any other gods out there? Obedience is trusting God. To align my priorities, to align my lifestyle with the greater purpose, which is His kingdom. And while I'm doing this, guess what's happening? You are having a relationship. These don't come methodically, stage by stage. Like sometimes they blend over each other. Sometimes you're in stage two for a much longer period than the other stages, or stage three than the other. But they're kind of all connecting somewhere. Some of us need to start somewhere. I don't know where to start. Start. Yeah, I've got a great slide here to show you. Start over here in the majesty and beauty and breathtaking splendor. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, God who sits enthroned above the heavens. Imagine being out there, the silence, and looking back down to earth. Over the North Pole, or is it the South Pole? Is it the Northern Lights or the Southern Lights? Trick question. Just the beauty in the heavens, the beauty of the canyons. Come on. How awesome, breathtaking, marvelous, spectacular is God. It's nothing quite like the roar of a lion. God's created beauty. Sun rising through forest glades. The majesty and power of lightning over the heavens like on Friday night over Westville. But the power of the universe, the beauty of creation. Sensational. A couple of guys are getting itchy now. They want to get down to South Beach. But the power of the beautiful oceans and everything that's under the ocean. We've got to start somewhere. Can I ask the musicians to come back? I left time at the end. So we can just stand up. I want to pray for three groups of people this morning. I want to pray for people who feel like I don't know what my part is in God's purpose. And then the second group of people are those who, you have a sense of what God's purposes are, but you don't know how to put it into words yet, and you don't want to state it just yet. And then thirdly, there's people who have a God-given desire and sense of purpose and can state it. And I'm going to ask you to do something very bold this morning. Can we stand up? That's not the bold part, okay? The bold part's coming. And be bold enough now to split up from your comfort zone, like your spouse or your girlfriend, and just stand in groups of three, four the most, threes and fours. Just find two or three people around you, form a group. Maybe we can have the CD going so the worship team can also do this. We don't want to exclude them. And then we'll go to worship. Find two or three people. And I want you to ask this question.